flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Done better, but that's okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 12:02 on the fan. You know what that means. 5 hour midnight ride. That's right. I got you till 5 a.m. 5 hours. McMonagle here with you on the fan. 888-808-1019. We got Big Zoo on the other side saying goodbye. Have a good evening, Zoo. Have a good morning. We'll have Fleegelman coming in just a second as we take your calls. All the way to 5 a.m. And as I'm watching highlights of the Senior Bowl, we'll get into football. We got all week next week to get into the game. This is the first Footballist Friday that we've had in a long time. So you know what? Let's go Footballist to start the show because I got to tell you, I'm starting to get pumped for baseball season, right? We're less than two weeks away from spring training. And we've talked so much about signing Pete Alonso. We've talked so much about this offseason, at the beginning of the offseason, the Juan Soto stuff. And of recent times, we've been yelling about the owner of the New York Yankees, or at least I have on some level, because he went out there and dared say that he's not the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the Yankee fans are all up in a tizzy. What do you mean? You make more money than the Dodgers and blah, 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 and yelling about it. And to me, I told you yesterday how I felt about that. Today, I want to turn my focus to the other owner in town because, yes, we've been talking about whether or not he should sign Pete Alonso or, you know, at what level should he be willing to pay? Does he really want him? All that stuff. But you know what? We could talk about the Dodgers till we're blue in the face, especially when it comes to Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees, because if the Yankees are lucky enough to get to the World Series, they may have to face the Dodgers. The New York Mets are in the National League. The New York Mets do have to compete with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And for all the money that the Yankees make, we know financially the Steinbrenners are not nearly in the same ballpark as the Dodgers or the New York Mets. And as we wait for the Pete Alonso shoe to drop, and every day it feels more and more likely that eventually Pete Alonso will be a Met. Right? It feels that way. No market. You know, Cincinnati's thrown out. I saw a story that maybe the Reds could be involved. There is no one else talking to Pete Alonso. The market has completely collapsed, and we will find out whether or not he finally comes to his senses, or the Mets give a little bit, or whatever the case may be. But as we talk about the Dodgers, and as we talk about competing, and yesterday a caller asked me for my list of most likely teams in New York to end this championship drought. Right now, the Mets aren't there. Not in my opinion. Not against the Dodgers. Not against this National League East where you have the Braves, you have the Phillies. Like, this team right now on paper needs Pete Alonso for me. And it also needs better starting pitching. So when I hear, and we talked a little bit about yesterday with Michael King, but if the San Diego Padres are actively shopping Dylan Cease and Michael King, the Mets, who are now connected, if you listen to the report from John Heyman, are interested and are talking to San Diego about those two pitchers. And we've talked about the idea that the Mets are willing to spend for the big bats, but they're not willing to spend in free agency for starting pitching. Right? They don't want to give the contract the Yankees gave to Max Fried. They don't want to pay a 30-year-old 7, 8, 9 years, no matter how good he is moving forward, because starting pitchers get injured. Starting pitchers, you know, don't impact the game as much as they used to. The bullpen is so important these days. The innings for starting pitchers are down, as well as they're prone to injury, and it just feels like the money's not worth it. And then Stearns believes you could build the team a better way. And last year, God knows they did. With all the additions, the one-year additions with Manaea, who turned into a great pitcher. The Mets turned him into one of the better pitchers in baseball the second half of last year. A bounce-back year for Severino, David Peterson. Like, we understand how well it went for them last year. But when you look at the National League, and forget necessarily money and whether or not Steve Cohen should play in the arena that the Dodgers play in, or whether or not the Yankees should, the fact of the matter is, this owner promised the championship, right? And I understand they signed Juan Soto and they spent a ridiculous contract on him and they went out and did whatever they could and changed who the Mets are fundamentally in this city, inside baseball, for the fan base in so many different ways. The ramifications of that contract is outreaching for a decade to come. But the fact of the matter is, right now and in the near future, we understand that the Dodgers are a force inside baseball. I was asked yesterday, are they the new evil empire? It's not even worth discussing. Of course they are. But it doesn't mean they can't be beat. And it doesn't mean that the Mets shouldn't compete with them. And when you talk, I saw the story from Andy Martino, and he was talking about, well, now that they've signed Stanek and they've signed Minter, and they've sort of pivoted away from Pete Alonso when they made that statement that it's not going to happen with Pete, we're moving on, we signed Winker, they've added a couple additions to the bullpen in Stanek and Minter, and now it's like, well, did those moves keep you from signing Pete? And as his market continues to collapse, and you think of the price you might actually get Pete on, and how the, and Andy put out the story that they might benefit from that additional pivot where they went and got Stanek and they got Winker. And now if the market still collapses and Pete insists on being a Met because he has no interest going anywhere else, if you could bring Pete in as well as all those additions, well, now you've made the team even better than if you would have gotten Pete and not signed those players. But I still will ask, why in the world, when I read that story, it's not so much, ooh, that's a good point, Andy. And I'm not saying it's not a good point or trying to get on Andy Martino, but I'm saying, like, that's not how I read it. I don't read it like, ooh, you know what? You're right. If they would have, you know, this whole time, if they would have signed Pete, you probably don't get Stanek. Why? I'm sorry. Is Ryan Stanek someone that you can't sign if Pete Alonso's on the team? I'm sorry. Is Minter for $11 million a contract you can't give out if Pete Alonso is on the team? I'm sorry. Is Jesse Winker someone that wouldn't have been able to fit in this quote-unquote expensive roster from the richest owner in baseball if Pete Alonso was already on the team? I'm sorry, do we have to find the best deal in the bullpen and not go get Tanner Scott, the best lefty reliever? I like the bargain of Minter at $11 million much better. Oh, Canley Jansen's out there? I don't know if I want to go out and get Canley Jansen. I might have to save some money for Pete Alonso. So let's go bring back Ryan Stanek because we don't want the better pitcher. We don't want to spend that much more money because we still might now have Pete Alonso fall into our lap. Why is the richest owner in baseball getting a pass for not spending more money? Last year, the Yankees got Juan Soto. And it was, oh, great, Juan Soto, that's awesome. It's fantastic. Finally another player. That's exactly what the Yankees should be doing. Great. And then immediately the pivot from the fan base was a demanding of, this is the year to chase the championship. Go out there and spend more. Unsatisfied heading into the offseason that they didn't go all in. How many conversations do we have about the Yankees and whether or not they went all in after signing Juan Soto? And yet the Mets signed Juan Soto, and because they don't have the expectations or the drought, at least this ownership doesn't have the drought. Obviously, the Mets have the drought going back to 86. But this ownership doesn't have the drought of no championships since 2009. He's come in, and he's changed things in so many ways. And Hal is trying to compete with his father, and Steve Cohen is competing with the Wilpons, and it's a much easier competition. But when I read today, or I see stories yesterday and today, that the San Diego Padres are willing to shop Michael King and willing to shop Dylan Cease, and I hear the Mets are in on Dylan Cease, now you're talking about competing with the Los Angeles Dodgers. If you sign Pete Alonso and put him in the middle of this lineup, keep your young stud Vientos at third base. Add Pete Alonso back to this team. And then you bring in an ace-like pitcher, and both of them are ace-like pitchers. And you have the prospects to go do it. You have the prospects to go do it. It might be pricey, but you have the prospects to go do it. And I think starting pitching exactly where you should be putting your prospects, because you're willing to pay for the bats, you're not willing to pay for starting pitching. Now, they're both 29. They're going to be 30 next year when they hit free agency. And that's the real question in it. Is this Met team run by David Stearns, who appears to have the hard and fast rule of not paying starting pitching after 30, are you willing to trade prospects for a pitcher that you don't want to sign further than this year? And I think this is the crux of it all for me with the New York Mets and their rich owner and their smart executive. Because sometimes, even if you don't like to do certain things, sometimes even if you believe smart is what's important, and to pay Dylan Cease after this year at 30 might not be what you want to do, sometimes you got to do even what you don't think is the smartest idea to make the team better and to chase the championship and to have the expectations that now you claim to have as the new big brother of the city. Go chase the Dodgers. Don't sit back and say, I can't sign Kenley Jansen because I might sign Pete now. Don't sit back and say, you know, these are already done. We'll see about Kenley Jansen, I suppose. But don't sit back and say, well, you know, yeah, Tanner Scott's the better pitcher, but Minter makes more sense at $11 million. And don't sit back and say, well, I guess we lucked into this contract. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had Jesse Winker. I'm curious the dynamic of the Met fan right now, because I don't think they booed him at FanFest. I think an overwhelming majority of this Met fan base is tickled pink, and they should be, not saying they shouldn't, but thrilled to have this guy as the owner, thrilled with the Juan Soto signing, and is happy to go into the season right now playing hardball with Pete Alonso, making the best affordable deals they can in the bullpen, making the best affordable deals they can in the rotation, and go in as one of a handful of teams that could compete this side of the Los Angeles Dodgers in the National League. And hope on hope that last year's unbelievable season, where everything went right, the team came together, whether it's OMG or Grimace or whatever else, had a magical run, and we expect that pixie dust to just continue on to 2025, rather, and we're okay with it. We're okay with it. And to me, this team's not good enough to compete with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't know if they're good enough to compete with the Philadelphia Phillies. I don't know if they're good enough to compete with an Atlanta Braves team that's going to be a hell of a lot healthier this year. But they have an opportunity to. They have an opportunity to. Because if you bring in an ace starting pitcher from San Diego and willing to trade draft capital, I always keep saying draft capital, stupid football on my mind. Can't get out of that. If you're willing to trade top prospects for a starting pitcher who might be 30 next year when it's come time to sign him long-term, and that's kind of the difference between Michael King and Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease has proven it. Dylan Cease has been around a lot longer. Dylan Cease might get that 7-8 year contract next year. Michael King might be a little bit cheaper in free agency. But how do they view it? And will they be willing to trade prospects for guys they don't want to sign? Or will they be willing to move on from this hard and fast rule of not paying starting pitching and recognize that there are certain situations like the right guy at 30 years old or a guy I've already given, you know, and I've been invested in because I gave up some of my top prospects for, so now I'm forced to sign him. There are times where you're forced to do things as a team in this city with these expectations, with the payroll, with a rabid fan base. And so when I hear Dylan Cease is available, you bet your ass the Mets should be all over it. I hear Michael King is available, you bet your ass the Mets should be all over it. And you do that as well as make sure Pete Alonso is in the building, and that seems more and more likely every single day. And to me, it should be get it done. If you have to play Kate Pete with a little bit extra, just do it to get it over with. Bring him in here. Pitchers and catchers show up in 2 weeks. Bring him in, trade for an ace pitcher, and now you've got a top of the rotation that has Kodai Senga, Manaea, and Cease, along with a bullpen with one of the better closers in the sport when healthy and pitching well. Maybe you add another back end of the bullpen guy, and you put Pete Alonso in the middle of that lineup, and now you've got Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Vientos. Now I'm looking at a team that could compete with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now I'm looking at a team that is, and especially since you're hurting the San Diego Padres with the trade, at least in the short term, they are right there behind the San Diego. They're right there behind the Los Angeles Dodgers as the second best team in the National League for sure, and probably all of baseball. But let's not be hasty. Let's not give Pete a dollar more than he is worth on the market. Hey. You know, let's make the smart deals in the bullpen, and we don't want to get Kenley Jansen just yet. We're not sure about Pete. And I don't know if I want to trade prospects for a 30-something pitcher that I won't pay in free agency. Let's all hold back here while we're killing the Yankee owner for not being the Los Angeles Dodgers, who currently has a higher payroll than the New York Mets have right now. There is impetus on this owner to make the best team and go compete with the Dodgers. And I'm sorry, as it presently sits today, the rotation, the middle of the lineup, it's not good enough. And there are two options sitting right out there that might cost you a little more money and a little less flexibility in your first baseman. And it might cost you prospects you'd rather not trade for starting pitching that you don't believe in paying long term. It might cost you more than you'd like. But we kill one owner for not doing it, and the other one is getting a pass because he gave out the most expensive contract in professional sports, and he's done things the previous owner never did, while the Yankee owner is trying to compete with the myth and grandeur of his father. What came before should not be the only measuring stick we have of the owners currently. Steve Cohen's done a great job. Last year was a great year. This team is right there to compete for a playoff spot, certainly, and maybe compete in the postseason in this tough National League. Why is the onus not on him to make it so that they are the favorite? Because it seems to be on one team, but if we're going to be Big Brother, how is it not on the other? Go make the move. Go get a starting pitcher, bring in Pete Alonso, and be right there at the Los Angeles Dodgers instead of just being happy with some of the minor moves and being hopefully the same team we were last year.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Go get an ace starting pitcher and bring back Pete Alonso. That should be the rallying cry from every single Met fan. And me and Fleas were just talking about it. We could debate which starting pitcher you want, which one you prefer, if San Diego really has King and Cease on the market. But for me, I don't know why, like, this owner is going to be allowed by the fans because of his recent track record and last year. I mean, that's really it, right? 2022 was a very nice year. 2023 sucked. Prior to that, not any winning. So he's really had, you know, one magical season as owner. And I'm not saying he hasn't done a good job. I'm just saying, like, why are you okay? Because now you want to say that you are the big brother. And you know you do. And this is to Met fans, not necessarily the Mets. God knows enough of you had told me. They're the better run team. They have the better farm system. They people want to go there as opposed to the New York Mets. They're the big brother. Well, if your owner is richer than the Yankee owner, has more money than the Yankee owner, and the Yankee owner is getting killed right now for not being the Dodgers, for having a less payroll than he had last year when going to the World Series, why is this owner allowed to, off of not going to the World Series, treat his franchise players like it's an absolute business and I'm not going to give you a dollar more, cut payroll from last year, even with signing Juan Soto, and go into the season with a makeshift rotation that could be good or it could be a disaster? Like, why isn't the onus on spending more money there from the Met fan towards this owner? Why are we so satisfied? Now, again, done a good job. Last year was great. Stearns is a smart executive. I think they're in great hands. But it's about winning, and it's about winning now. So bring in Pete and go trade for one of these starting pitchers. Get a legitimate guy who you can count on at the top of the rotation. And go compete with the Dodgers, because that's the other thing. You're competing with the Dodgers. We could talk about the Big Brother or whatever. That's a back page fan base WFAN sports talk radio argument kind of rivalry. They don't have to beat the Yankees until they get to the World Series, if the Yankees are there at all. They have to contend with the Dodgers. They have to contend with an Atlanta Braves team that had won how many divisions before being ravaged by injury this year? They have to contend with the Philadelphia Phillies and all the money they spend and the great players they have and the track record they've put up the last 3 or 4 years. And I don't know if they're good enough right now. And the owner has moves, and this team has moves staring them right in the face to do that. And I just feel like, oh, that would be nice. Oh, hey, you know, Stanek's a good move. Solid move. Oh, I'm so glad they brought back Jesse Winker. Jesse Winker's good. He's good. Minter's a good pitcher. I mean, he's not Tanner Scott, but hey, who gives $18 million to relievers? I get it. Minter's good. It's good. It's all good. They're good. Mets are good. Last year, they were great. Fatsos like you were telling me they were punting on the season and they went to the NLCS. So we're all good. We're all good. We overcame everyone saying we weren't good last year. We'll do it again this year. I'm happy. They got Juan Soto. What else could I possibly expect? Last year, the Yankees got Juan Soto, and that's not how the Yankee fans reacted. Let's go win a championship. RJ in Manhattan. What's up, RJ?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm here listening to you. A big fan of you.
Oh, thank you.
Love your show, man. Love your show. Hey, check it out. Have you heard the thing about Alonso that he's third in home runs in the last six seasons? Like, he's behind Pujols and somebody else?
Alonso?
Yeah.
I think since he's been in the league, only Aaron Judge has hit more home runs. I don't know about to start their career.
Yes.
I'm sure Pujols might have had more home runs in the first 5 years, 6 years of his career than Alonso. I'm not sure about that. But since Pete came into the league in 2019, no one has hit more home runs other than Aaron Judge. So, I mean, outside of Judge, he's the premier home run hitter in Major League Baseball.
Correct. I read that earlier. There's one more player, and they said that he's done it with less at-bats. He has like 3,100 at-bats, and mm-hmm. Pujols has about 3,500.
Yeah.
And Pujols had like about 257 around there.
Yeah.
And I forgot who the other person was. The other person had, I think, a little bit more, a little bit less.
Right.
But let's
just make sure we understand, because we're talking about names and Aaron Judge and Pujols, and Pete competes with them in home runs, but nothing else. Like, let's be fair. Like, you know.
No, in the first 6 years, that's what it says.
I understand that, but I'm just saying. Pujols would hit 340. They're not nearly the same player. They were close on home runs, and you can make an argument Pete's every bit the home run hitter, but I mean, they're different. Pujols is one of the great players to ever play the game. Pete Alonso can't get $20 million per year. So it's a little different.
Yeah. I understand that. Maybe somebody read it. I read it in one of the articles today.
Yeah,
I'm not
saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, let's not make it seem like, as much as I want them to sign him, let's not make it seem like, hey, this guy's Pujols and Judge. How are you not signing him? That's all I'm saying. The home run numbers might be there, he's not nearly that kind of player.
No, for sure. No, right. Of course not. He's great. He's our player.
He is the premier home run hitter in Major League Baseball this side of Aaron Judge, without question.
Okay, one more thing. I want Pete to like feel like this. Like, maybe if he can think about it, like if he can get close in these 3 years, if he can get as close as possible to 500. I'm not saying he's gonna hit 200 home runs in 3 years.
Yeah.
But let's say he hits about .150, maybe a little .160, God willing, or a little less. But get close enough to 500, maybe he can get another contract and to push it. Because, come on, he's only in his 30s. How many players wasn't great in their 30s?
No, I mean, listen, he's not going to get 500 home runs in a Met uniform. Sorry. Forget it. That's not even a discussion anymore. It's not even a discussion. I doubt it very much. Unless Pete Alonso, over the next 3 years, and forget the home run numbers, because he's not hitting 150 in 3 years. He's not hitting 50 home runs every single year. I'd be very surprised. But even if he does that, it's not even necessary about unless Pete Alonso and the New York Mets do an immense amount of winning, and he's a huge part of it, and then at the end of this 3 years, they both understand that it's in their best interest to continue, and Pete's willing to take whatever the Mets are willing to give him, and it's just a fait accompli. Hey, now he's our guy. He's had great years. We've won championships. Like, let's see Pete break these numbers and everything like that. Like, then maybe. But most likely, when Pete signs a 3-year deal with the New York Mets, that's it. He's going to play 3 more years with the Mets, and he's moving on. They're not going to. David Stearns is not paying. David Stearns, and I still wholeheartedly believe this, David Stearns doesn't want to pay him now. David Stearns doesn't want to give him anything. The owner is the one who's negotiating this, and the owner believes there's value. The owner wants to please the fans. And David Stearns, because he's in such a good situation and understands there's a number that how could he argue with, and as long as the owner promises him the next time he wants to do something, this won't hamper it, he's willing to do it. Or at least, he's not gonna threaten to quit if the owner insists, But I'm telling you, I don't think he wants it at all. And so it would be almost impossible to envision Pete moving on. That legacy contract, that contract everybody talked about at the start of this, hey, it's worth to be in the uniform. You go down as the greatest player. You have your number retired and all that. Unless he wins championships in the next 3 years, I don't see that happening. I don't see Pete Alonso and the legacy thing and the chasing 500 home runs and all that stuff. I think the 6-year deal, the 7-year deal, that was on the table. 3-year deal, that's going to be the end of it. Ben in Westport, what's up, Ben?
T-Mac, I got baseball fever, man. Thanks for talking baseball.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk about Pete Alonso from a different standpoint. I feel like a lot of callers in the last, and frankly, a lot of casuals, have treated this like, you know, I want Pete because he's my favorite player conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets actually, and this is why I appreciate what you've done differently, is the Mets actually need Pete Alonso in the middle of the lineup, okay? Unlike many, I am not a casual. I watch, you know, probably 150 games a year. I go to 45 games a year, okay? And the amount of games in the dog days of summer where it's like, you know, the Mets win 6-4 and Pete Alonso hit a 3-run homer in the third inning of the game and no one ever thinks about it again is so many times it's not even funny. This guy had 90 RBIs last year and 35 homers in a quote-unquote bad year.
Yeah.
Okay, in a bad year. I mean, what are we talking about here?
I agree.
This is majorly important. And it's important from a winning standpoint. Not just because he's our favorite player and I want him to hit 500 in a Mets uniform or whatever.
Yep.
What's going to do with that? Those RBI numbers will only go up with obviously Soto hitting in front of him now, okay? And the middle of the lineup, I mean, Jesse Winker, please. I mean, it, just so people are aware, like this guy might hit 15 to 20 homers in a 162-game season, okay? Pete Alonso hits 35 in a bad year, and by the way, he played 162 out of 162 games last year.
Yep.
Okay.
He plays every day. He plays every day.
He plays every day.
Yep.
So this idea that like his ball, well, he doesn't have a good body for baseball, he's going to break down. I mean, I don't know. You could say that from your couch as someone who's never played, but I mean, have we seen any evidence of that?
No.
He's played every game of every season, basically.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you just said. Once they got it on a 3-year deal, to me, it made no sense to not sign him. I could understand if, you know, someone who was desperate, if the San Francisco Giants were desperate to bring in somebody and make a splash, and they offered Pete 6-7 years at big money, and like the Mets didn't want to match. I could understand that. I could. Believe me, I'm not saying I couldn't. And look, if Pete's being unreasonable, I do understand. If Pete wants to bring in these clauses, especially with no, again, it's not over. Right? I'm not trying to tell you, this is my imploring them to do it. I'm not killing them for not doing it. They haven't not done it yet. Pete Alonso hasn't signed with anyone else. But yeah, I agree. Right now it's just the owner and the executive, David Stearns, are getting just the absolute, despite people telling you they got booed at FanFest, they are being completely given a pass, right? And when I say that, it comes with the tone that I think they're failing, and that's not true. I'm just saying they're not being held to the fire right now to say, hey, do you think we're good enough to beat the Dodgers? Because that's what we need to be. It's more of like, hey, I trust their plan. Last year was year one, and it went so freaking great. I trust their plan. So, you know what? I know I want Pete, and I can tell you a million reasons why it makes sense at a 3-year deal. And we do have to compete and win this year. But hey, I just got a tweet now. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is available next year, which, by the way, why should signing Pete Alonso this year stop you from getting Vladimir Guerrero Jr. next year? Explain that to me. Why should that hinder you in any way of getting Vladimir Guerrero Jr. next year? Pete's going to make $20 million. They've already proven they're not going to give him what he wants. He's going to make $20 to $23 million. He's the richest owner in baseball. You have and we just talked about how he's the most prolific home run hitter this side of Aaron Judge. You can't have Pete Alonso hitting home runs at your DH for 2 years, making $23 million a year while you go sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Sure you can. Sure you can. So I don't understand. I don't understand. Every move, oh, what a great move. Every move is a great move. Every deal, you know, oh, what a bargain. You know, Wink, you're right, Winker. Oh, man, Winker was a guy, right, who came in and joined a team that was on the rise with everything going great, and he bought into it. He fit that mold perfectly. He came right into an exciting time, brought energy, and was part of the OMG Mets and had a nice little second half and was big for them, no doubt. You can't go into the year telling me Jesse Winker is going to be a major player for you and do great things for you. No idea. You can't tell me this rotation is going to be good because last year's rotation was. That's all I'm saying. Stanek was awful for a time, then was good at the end of the year. What kind of bullpen arm are you getting in Ryan Stanek? I don't know. He throws hard. But as I sit here today, they're not good enough to beat the Dodgers. And the Yankees are getting killed for going into the season with the idea they're not good enough to beat the Dodgers. And it's much more important for the Mets to make that argument. It's much more important for the Mets to be better than the Dodgers. They have to get through them to get to the World Series. The Yankees can get lucky in a 7-game set. We saw Ohtani get hurt in the World Series. Who knows what could happen in one series? They have to get through a gauntlet that is the National League. I'm just saying, there are opportunities. Now it seems like they're going to get Pete on a song. If you get Pete for a deal, go get the ace starting pitcher. Robin Edison, what's up, Rob?
Hey, C-Mac. Yeah, I really enjoy your show. I just disagree with a lot of your takes. Last offseason, March, April, you were screaming the Mets to go get Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Well, if they would have done it before spring training, maybe he would have actually had some time to prepare himself and had a better year. But you're right, it was a terrible year for him.
But I don't think that they need to go out and get an ace. I mean, if you look, the Dodgers won the World Series with Flaherty, Buehler, and Yamamoto pitching 5 innings
on
a bullpen day.
And how's the Mets bullpen?
I mean, no, but I'm saying the Mets.
Okay.
And you've heard of Brandon Sproat, right?
I've heard of him.
You heard of Brandon Sproat?
I have.
He's going to be in the rotation by summer.
And he's going to be what exactly?
Well, I mean, kid's got a lot of talent.
Okay.
They got another kid, Tidwell, in the minors.
Oh,
I mean, to give up prospects, I mean, they do have Senga. They do have Peterson. They do have Manaea.
And how many months has Peterson had in his Met career?
Yeah, but I mean...
But they were the last 2 months you saw, so you feel good about it. All right, I'm just telling you. You're giving me guys, you're giving me a whole lot of I hope. That's what you get. You give me a whole lot of...
I don't think you need the ace anymore.
I think you need a better starting pitching, right? And we could talk about last year's Dodgers and what they won with. Last year's Dodgers are gone. And this year's Dodgers have Ohtani, Yamamoto, Roky Sasaki, Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow. Like, I mean, I'm just saying. Like, that last year...
Just like you said, the Yankees could win a 7-game series against the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Just when they get hot, the Mets could too if they get hot at the right time.
The Yankees, as of right now, are going to have a path of what exactly to get to the World Series. The Mets theoretically, the Mets arguably would have to go through the Braves, the Phillies. No, I know we don't know it. We don't know anything.
That's just to come back and be great this year.
I totally agree. But
I mean,
I know, but forget the Yankees for a second. My point was it's an easier path to get to the Dodgers, and then they would have to get to the Dodgers in the World Series. The Mets have a tougher path. We don't know anything. You're telling me, on one hand, Sproat's going to be great, Peterson's going to be great, and then when I mention the Dodgers, well, we don't know anything. But you have a lot of things you know about how it's going to go great for the New York Mets.
No, I don't know. I'm just
saying. No, we don't.
To go out and trade prospects for Dylan Cease, I don't necessarily know that's the right move right now. I've seen teams go deep in the playoffs, win worlds. Like when the Braves won the World Series in 21, mm-hmm. they didn't have a great rotation.
No.
I mean, Texas Rangers, they didn't have a great rotation. DeGrom was hurt.
Yeah.
Scherzer was hurt. I mean,
they were lucky enough to get the Arizona Diamondbacks. Who, I mean, listen, of course, anything could happen. Anything could happen. It's about building the best team possible.
I think we need to change the way we look at building a team. These starting pitchers, they get hurt, they go 5-6 innings.
Right.
I mean, to spend prospects.
Yeah.
On
what prospects?
Okay.
That's why you don't go pay him. The Stearns agrees with you. That's why he didn't give Burns a contract. That's why he didn't give Max Fried a contract. That's why he's not going to pay, you know, guys into their late 30s for starting pitching, because he agrees with you on some level. But you also need starting pitching. Like, you need it.
Well,
and so if this is how you can get it, they don't. They might. Last year I said the same thing and I turned out to be wrong. You're right. You want to rely on that? You want to tell me Frankie Montas and Clay Holmes are going to get you there? You're going to tell me that we know for a fact now that Manaea is going to be one of the best pitchers in the National League like he was last year, that he's not going to revert to what he was the three previous seasons? You're going to tell me Kodai Senga, who hasn't pitched in a year?
What I'm saying is they don't have to. Well, they're five-inning pitchers anyway.
Okay. All right. Okay. They don't have to. You're right. They don't have to. I'm glad you feel that way. They don't have to. They don't have to. They don't have to win either. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to do anything. They've got Minter and Stanek to add to the bullpen. Where are they? Like, here's the thing about the Mets right now. Where are they great? What unit that they have right now is top tier, top notch, you know, is going to be one of the best units at that. Is the starting rotation good enough to be right now? Now, look, anything can happen. Same thing about the Yankees. I say the same. We have no idea. You got, if you think this is like a Yankee Met thing that I'm trying to give you, it's not. I'm trying to give you a fair assessment of the New York Mets. The New York Yankees, we can go through it too. You got your ace pitcher coming off an injury. Like, he pitched well at the end of the year, and his last start again in the World Series, he threw the ball great and dominated up until the fifth inning. But, I mean, he's 35 or 36 this year, and he's coming off of missing half the year with an elbow injury. Max Fried has had injury issues in the past. They're relying on a rookie of the year, Luis Gil, who's had Tommy John surgery and had been injured in the past, to be the same pitcher. Like, of course, that rotation might not be. We're all talking about how great it is. Who knows? The back end of the bullpen, Devin Williams, I think is going to be great. Coming to a new league, I don't know. Weaver was one of the worst pitchers in baseball 2 years in a row, and then found himself in the bullpen, you know, halfway through this last season. And suddenly I'm like, he's going to be great the entire year in the eighth inning? No way. We could talk about this. We could do this all night long. I can spend all 5 hours on how we don't know if this is going to be good or bad, or this is going to be good or bad. I don't know. But do you want to go into the season with the most options to be good? Because right now they have a lesser payroll than they did last year. Why are you okay with that? Or why is that like, oh, to trade prospects? What prospects? And where are they playing exactly? Because everyone, oh, they're going to go buy Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Oh, they're going to buy this one. They're going to buy. Well, then where are these prospects playing? Or why can't they be traded for a starting pitcher when you don't like to sign starting pitchers? So to me, you got to get a starting pitcher in here one way or another, because you can't just go through. Maybe they're so good they can. But it's going to be very difficult to consistently, year after year, build a rotation with has-beens and developments. And that's kind of what they want to do. They want to sign these one-year deals. They want to get guys who've been good or show promise, or they're real valued and they see the value in it, turn them around, and then obviously the Sprouts of the world, and develop starting pitching through the organization, which you have to do on some level. But eventually, you're going to have to go through and hit free agency at some point in your rotation. And if not, then you better be willing to trade for the younger guys. Because you might say, oh, you got to rethink we do baseball. Is anybody saying the Dodgers should rethink how they do things? The Dodgers went out and paid Max Fried. The Dodgers went out and traded for Glasnow and traded prospects for Glasnow. They went out and signed Yamamoto. Like, they've been spending money and spending prospects to go build their rotation, and I haven't heard one person say the Dodgers are doing it wrong. I haven't heard one person say, is that really the way baseball's trending? I haven't heard one person say, Is that really what's best for the Los Angeles Dodgers? Everybody seems pretty freaking convinced that the Dodgers do everything great. Nobody has a problem with giving Blake Snell a contract. Nobody has a problem with trading for Glasnow, Yamamoto, trusting Ohtani off of another Tommy John. Those are very smart. Very smart how they trade prospects and spend money. Very smart, those Dodgers. But when you ask the Mets to do it, is that really the best way? We do have a plan, you know. Do you want to trade prospects for an ace starting pitcher in today's baseball? Well, today's baseball is the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they told you they have no problem spending prospects and money on a rotation. So call them stupid. Omar in the Bronx, what's up, Omar?
Hi, how are you, man?
Good, how are you, buddy?
I love your show. And thank finally, you. Somebody who sounds like a logical baseball person here. You're the first person I hear that's making some sense.
Well, thank you.
Because, let's be honest here, we're just talking baseball. Historically, for you to be consistently in the playoffs and in the World Series conversation, starting pitching, defense, you got to have either great bullpen or great starting pitching. Both of them have to be good. One of them has to be great. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's instances where you've had teams that have won.
Right. I mean, you're right. He was talking about the Texas Rangers who've you know, lost 100 games the year before, yeah, won the World Series, and then missed the playoffs the next year. Like, do you want to be
and,
that?
And I mean, do you want the Mets, the Royals, or right, the Oakland A's?
Exactly.
You have the richest owner in sports,
right?
And you're hoping and looking for luck. You had a lucky one last year. Let's be honest.
And you're bringing up teams that pop up and win one World Series and otherwise don't show their face in the playoffs year after year. Like that's what you're giving me when you tell me, oh, you know, like you're perfectly right. The Royals, 2015, I saw them win without a rotation, and you know their bullpen was great. Okay, that's the Kansas City Royals. They're just making their way back into being good again. I mean, like, the Texas Rangers. They might come back this year, but you're going to give me, the Texas Rangers won. They were never heard from before, and last year they missed the playoffs. So, like, you want sustained winning. You want to be the Dodgers. You want to be the Yankees. Sorry to say.
Yeah, If you want to be in that conversation, then you have to you have to build a team. Mm-hmm. You have the richest owner in sports. Now, all right, if your GM is so smart, right, you have a smart GM, then you have to make smart baseball decisions. And yes, he got Soto. He got a bunch of bats. But you're going to tell me you have no starting pitching. You have nobody. You sign Montas. Who is Montas? You have no Senga. All these Asian pitchers that get all this money, if you see them historically, they all get injured. They hardly pitch. I don't know why. But I can't count on those guys.
Yeah, I mean, Tanaka, he had that elbow injury year one, but he pretty much pitched through. I'm trying to think if that's actually... Nomo was injured throughout his career.
Yes, they all get Tommy John in the first 5 years, or the first 3 years, whatever reason.
Unfortunately, you could probably say that about all starting pitchers, and that's why Stearns has his belief. I'm not trying to knock his belief. Like, I'm really not. I think on some level, every once in a while, you're going to have to find the right guy you're willing to do it for. That's one of my main points. And thank you so much for the call. One of my main points is, at some point, like, they didn't think that Burns was the right guy. They didn't think Max Fried was the right guy. Like, that's fine. And because I want to make it clear, I do all these things are smart by themselves. I don't think Stearns is an idiot. I think Stearns is one of the better executives in the sport, bar none, without question. And I think the idea of not paying for aging starting pitching is a smart idea. But when you're the New York Mets and you have expectations and you have the richest owner in baseball, you are going to have to pick your spots eventually and pick the right guy that you think can be... You can't hold to that rule forever. That's one, right? And I'm not even saying they have to do that this year, and they didn't, but... If you're going to kind of have that belief, when excellent starting pitching finds its way to the market via trade, then you have to be one of the teams in on it, and it sounds like they are. Like, that's the other, if you don't want to pay the aging starting pitching, fine. It's a reasonable take. It's smart for all of the reasons we've mentioned. In my opinion, when you're the Mets with their expectations and money, eventually somewhere down the line, one of these years, you're going to have to break that rule and trust the guy. But even outside of that, every time excellent starting pitching hits the market at a reasonable age, and hits the market either free agency at 25, which again, they offered Yamamoto how much money? They were willing to pay a 25-year-old Yamamoto big money. And again, all smart. Get it. Understood. But if you're not going to do that when the Dylan Cease and Michael King, who are 29 years old, hit the trade market, you have got to be involved in it because you do need good starting pitching. You do. So sign Pete because the lineup needs him. Go trade for another top end of the rotation pitcher because the rotation needs him. Go get Canley Jansen. Right? If you want Canley Jansen, don't settle for Ryan Stanek because you're not sure about your expensive roster. You want to tell me that? Fine. But then don't crow about every other move they make or don't look down and call the Yankees cheap and they don't operate the same way and he's not his father. Well, why is it okay for the Mets to take a pay cut? I know that they signed Juan Soto. Right now, they're going to come off of the NLCS losing to the Dodgers. They're going to spend less money this year? And we're okay with that as they're making, cheap options and alternatives? And every Met fan seems to be on board because they have a plan and they were smart. And oh my God, how much fun was last year? That's all I'm saying. Go sign Pete, get another starting pitcher in here. And if you want a reliever, pay for the best reliever and don't settle for less under the guise of, I have to keep some room for Pete or anybody else. Why does this owner get the benefit of the doubt on that? He's the richest owner in baseball. Go get the reliever you want and pay him. The luxury tax is named after him, and yet we all understand, Yankee fans can't understand why Hal Steinbrenner is adhering to it, and the Mets are, he did sign Juan Soto, so it's okay to be that he's staying under the luxury tax and giving me the expensive roster when he's holding the Pete Alonso's feet by the fire for $20 million per. And maybe he'll win. And if he does, go get the rotation piece and be that next team right below the Dodgers.